word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible. The Lord desires for us that we can have a life that is abundantly filled with spiritual blessings. But sadly, so many people never seem to experience the benefits of the life that Jesus can provide. I heard a story about something that happened during the Great Depression. There was an elderly lady who walked into an insurance office one day, and she wanted to know if she could stop paying the premiums on her husband's life insurance policy. She explained, "He's been dead for some time now, and I just don't believe that I can afford it anymore." Well, the clerk was shocked, and he looked up her policy and discovered that it was actually worth several hundred thousand dollars. And he went on to explain to her how not only did she not have to pay the premiums after her husband's death, but that now she could claim the benefits of the policy. The truth was that she was wealthy, but she was still living as though she was poor because she didn't understand what she possessed. I wonder how often we do the same thing as Christians. We have the blessings and the rich spiritual riches of having this abundant life that God has given us, but do we still carry on as though we're living in poverty? Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life." This passage gives us some insight into how Jesus feels toward us, what he wants for us. And he doesn't just want us to have a good life. And he doesn't just want us to be able to live abundantly. He wants us to be able to live more abundantly. He wants our lives to be so filled with love and joy and peace and hope until our hearts are flowing over with all of these blessings. Like Psalm 23:5 says, "My cup runs over." Not just it's full or it's filled to the brim, but it's filled till it's overflowing the sides. And that's how good my life is because of you, God. Jesus said, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your bosom." Luke 6 and verse 38. That's what he wants for us. A life that is overflowing with blessings. In John 15:11, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Everything that Jesus ever said was in hope of helping us to experience the same joy that he experienced in heaven and on earth. He does not want there to be anything lacking in the joy and peace that we have. But if that's what he wants, if he wants us to have a more abundant life spiritually, why is it the case that so often we don't seem to experience that abundance? Why do we seem to be so poor spiritually some of the time? I would like for us to study some things in this lesson that maybe will answer some questions for us in that regard. We're going to trace out this process, and it is a process that has several steps to it of things that lead to this abundant life. And all of these things are going to come from John chapter 15. So if you're able to have your Bible open, you can follow along with me there in that chapter. As we start to line out this process, the first thing is that the key to abundant living is bearing fruit. Over in John 15, 1 and 2, and also verse 8, we read, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Jesus is the vine, and the Father in heaven is the vine dresser. And they are both looking for spiritual fruit in our lives. Not every branch in Jesus is bearing fruit. And just like in every other vineyard, branches that do not bear fruit are cut away and they are taken to be burned. And this is reflective of the punishment that is awaiting those who are not faithful to the Lord. But the branches that are bearing fruit are pruned by the Father so that they can bear more fruit. There's the idea of abundance. He's not just satisfied that there is fruit on these branches, but there is the potential for more fruit. Not just abundance, but more abundance. And so those branches which are fruitful receive his care so that they can be more abundant and more fruitful. So the key to abundant living is bearing fruit. Now, maybe I should be more specific about what I mean by fruit. What do we mean? We're not talking about grapes and oranges and apples here, of course. We're talking about spiritual fruit. And the Bible uses that word in a number of different places to give us some insight as to what exactly we mean when we talk about spiritual fruit. Well, for one thing, we bear spiritual fruit anytime we make positive changes in our lives personally. The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So at times we may look at our lives and we may see things that are sinful, or we may see things that are lacking in our lives, and we humble ourselves to that and we strive to make those changes, to put away from our lives anything that's not pleasing to God and develop in our lives the things that are pleasing to God. Anytime you make a change like that in your life, you're bearing fruit. And when God sees a branch bearing fruit, he's going to prune it so that it can bear more fruit, so it can be more abundant. Secondly, anytime you reach out to strengthen or encourage a fellow Christian, you're bearing fruit. Paul uses the word that way in Philippians 1:22. He wanted to live on in the flesh so that he could keep working with his fellow Christians and bear fruit by his labor. So whether we're teaching or whether we're just giving a personal word of encouragement or whatever it is that we do to try to help those who love God remain faithful to him, that's bearing fruit. Thirdly, anytime you give to the church or you get involved working in the church or you spend your time worshiping God with the church, anytime you're involved in the work and the service of the Lord's church, that's bearing fruit. Whether that's visiting someone, whether that's preparing food, whether that's teaching a Bible class, whatever it may be, God considers that fruit. Philippians 4:17, Romans 15:28, Hebrews 13:15 are all examples of the word fruit being used in that way. Then the last one that I wanted to mention is anytime you try to reach out to someone who is lost, who doesn't know Christ, and you try to lead that person closer to Christ so that they can be saved, you're bearing fruit. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul said, "I have planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase." So, this is fruit, is making changes in our lives, strengthening those who are faithful to the Lord, giving, working, and worshiping in the Lord's church, and leading those who are lost to salvation. These are all ways that we can be bearing spiritual fruit. Now, fruitless branches will be cut away. And those fruitless branches are those who continue living in sin with no effort to change. They may use their words and actions to cause pain and sorrow for others rather than building them up. Or maybe they don't care about the well-being of the church. They don't contribute anything to its work. And they haven't gotten involved in leading others to Christ. Those are the fruitless branches who will be cut away. But those who are fruitful will have a greater abundance. But as I said, there are several stages of this. So, you know, we first said that the key to bearing to abundance is bearing fruit. But you take that a step further and you start to realize that the key to bearing fruit is abiding. In John 15, 4 through 6, Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." The branch has to abide in the vine to get the nourishment that it needs to bear fruit. If the branch is not in the vine, then it's going to die, of course. And in this imagery that Jesus uses here, He teaches us that if we're going to be bearing fruit, then we have to be abiding in him. He's the vine, and we are the branches. God's love and mercy has everything that we need to be forgiven of the past and to be enabled for this joyous, peaceful future. Christ is the vine. It's going to connect us to the love and the mercy of God. And he is the vine, which means he is the only vine that can connect us in that way. And the core message that we're trying to get across here with this idea of abiding is that a mindset where we are trying to constantly keep a connection, a deep connection to Christ in every aspect of our lives. God wants us to be as close as a branch is to the vine. And they are so close that you can't really tell where one starts and the other ends. This world offers so many distractions, and it's so easy for our minds, our focus, to get going in so many different directions. And with these distractions, it's easy for us to go about our day and leave the Lord behind. We just don't think about him the way that we could and should. But as long as that happens, we're really just wandering through life, doing our own thing. And life just drifts further and further off track. And like a branch that's disconnected from the vine, our life just gets emptier and emptier with each day that passes. We can never know abundance unless we keep our connection to Christ strong. And that means that wherever we go, whatever we do, we should always keep Him with us in our minds, our hearts, our lives. You know, I think about Joseph, how he was able to resist temptation. And one of the things that kept him strong was this faith that the Lord was with him. He did not want to sin against the Lord who was with him. And we too are stronger the more we abide with Him and realize that He abides with us. Our fears, our sorrows, our pain, our worries, they're all so much smaller when we realize that He is with us and we are abiding in Him. But you know, you can take it even a step further. Yes, the key to abundant living is bearing fruit. And yes, the key to bearing fruit is abiding in the Lord. But the key to abiding in the Lord is obeying the Lord. In John 8:31, Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." The evidence that we are truly abiding in Christ is going to be heard in the words that we use, and seen in the actions that we choose, felt in the love that we share, and known by the truth that we teach, the kindness that we show, and the forgiveness that we give. The true test of whether or not we are abiding in Christ is whether or not we are obeying His word. Jesus could say that He was abiding in the Father because He was obedient to His Father. In John 15:10, He said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. See how He connects that? He was abiding in His Father's love because He was keeping His Father's commandments. And then He says to us, if you do that, if you keep my commandments, then you will abide in my love. Jesus' greatest concern was not what He was going to eat or where He was going to sleep or any of those kind of temporal, physical things. His most important concern was to do what His Father wanted Him to do and do it the way His Father wanted Him to do it. He said, "My food is to do the will of Him that sent me," John 4:34. And when we obey the Lord, we are abiding in His love. We are abiding in His friendship. Jesus said in John 15:14, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." And as we obey Him, not only are we abiding in Him, but He will be abiding in us, and other people will be able to hear and see Him through our words and actions. If we choose to disobey, then we're, in a sense, turning our back on His love and His friendship and His life. Surely we have no desire to do that. But then again, you can take it even a step further. Yes, the key to abundant living is bearing fruit. The key to bearing fruit is abiding in the Lord. The key to abiding in the Lord is obeying the Lord. But the key to obeying the Lord is loving the Lord. God has joined together love and obedience, and they should never be separated. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," John 14:15. He also said in John 14:23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home to him. You know, none of us are perfect in obedience, and I would be the first to admit that. But when you look at it from this perspective, you come away with a deeper appreciation of just how important it is to be obedient to the Lord. In his eyes, when we're obedient to him, we are showing our love for him. And from that perspective, how could you not want to be obedient? Occasionally, you know, we should just look back and put ourselves under the cross and see and hear the love that Jesus showed for us. And when we do, we'll come away with a deeper appreciation for his love and a deeper desire to obey him, to love him. There are three reasons to obey someone. There's really only one choice when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. Some people may obey because they believe that they have to, so they obey out of fear. Some may obey because they believe they need to. There's more selfishness there. There's something they're getting out of it. But when we obey the Lord, it should be because we want to, because his love inspires us to want to follow him. But you know, you can take it even a step further. The key to loving is knowing. The more we know Jesus, the more we will love him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. John 15:7. Relationships are built on communication. The more we listen, the more we understand. The more we understand, the more we know, and the closer we can be. But then you take it to the final step. The key to abundant living is bearing fruit. The key to bearing fruit is abiding. The key to abiding in the Lord is obeying the Lord. The key to obeying the Lord is loving the Lord. And the key to loving the Lord is knowing the Lord. And that brings us to our last thing. It's the key to knowing is reading. Scripture has been given so that we might hear the voice of God and come to know him. John 20:30-31 says, "Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." John says, these signs are written so that you can know Jesus and believe in him. John 5:39-40 says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." The scriptures were given to testify of Jesus. We should search the scriptures because that's where we have an opportunity to get to know him. Jesus' followers will treasure the word of God. I love the story that I've heard about Gus Nichols, a great preacher of the gospel for so many years. In his early years as a Christian, he had no electricity in his house. So he would read the Bible lying on his stomach in front of the fireplace. And the flickering light was not very bright. So after a while, it strained his eyes. And after they began to burn and his vision began to blur, he, instead of just closing the Bible and quitting, he would cover one eye with his hand and let it rest while he read with the other. And then every so often he would switch. He would cover up the other eye and he would read with the other. But he had such a burning passion for studying the scripture that he wouldn't allow anything to keep him from reading. It's so important that we save some time each day to open the scriptures and hear his voice and get to know him better and be closer to him. Any relationship is going to weaken when there is a lack of communication. And the same is true for our relationship with the Lord. When our relationship with the Lord is weak, everything in life will begin to unravel, and we couldn't possibly have the abundance that Jesus promises we could have. There's a story about a crippled woman. When her parents died, she had no brothers, sisters, or living relatives. She lived in a cramped apartment and earned money for rent and food by knitting. And even though it would hurt her arthritic hands, she kept it up enough that she could squeak by. One day, an elderly man, who was a friend of her parents, came by to visit and say hello. When he saw how she was living, he was appalled. He wondered why she was living in such poverty. And she explained, "Since my parents died, I've supported myself, but it's been very hard." And the man said, "Don't you know about the fortune that was willed to you by your parents?" In shock, she said, "What fortune?" And he told her of thousands of dollars that her parents had left her in a trust account. She didn't know about it. No one knew about it except this man, evidently. They contacted the family attorney and discovered that a terrible mistake had been made, and she had never been notified of the trust account. For 42 years, the money had been sitting in that account, accumulating interest, which was now worth millions of dollars. She was a millionaire, but she'd been living in poverty. How many Christians live in defeat and spiritual poverty because they don't know the abundance that you can have in Christ? Here's how it works. We open our hearts to receive God's word, and by reading, we are able to know the Lord in a deeper way. By knowing the Lord, we are able to fall in love with him in a deeper way. And as we love him, we are inspired to obey him and live our lives for him. And by obeying, we abide in him in a deeper way. By abiding in him, we are able to bear fruit. Fruit that will bring glory to the Lord. And by bearing fruit, we are able to live an abundant life filled with spiritual blessings until it overflows. Let's be encouraged to be persistent in the process of abundant living. Friend, if there's any way that we can help you, we urge you to please contact us today.
Unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.